So why are we studying the book of Job? Of all books, I believe this book is so needed right now because we are living in a time when everyone's opinion is so strong and there's so much division because everyone is so sure that they are right. And that's what I love about the book of Job, because you see, it's a bunch of humans speaking to one another, and they're arguing and trying to figure something out. And then at the end, God comes through and he speaks. And he speaks with authority. And he actually says, you guys are all wrong. Here's the truth. We're living in a time when we need that voice from God, where his words cut through everyone else's and there's authority. Because right now, everyone is throwing out their opinion. Everyone is sure that they are right. And there's a message in this book that is so needed for this generation. But the question is are we going to be humble enough to understand this message, to receive this message? Now, most Christians are pretty familiar with the book of Job, but we see it as, okay, that's the book I turn to when I go through difficult times because I think, you know what? What I'm going through doesn't compare to what Job's going through. And Job was able to glorify God during those trials, during those difficult times. So I'm going to do the same thing. And so it's become this book that is about trials. But if you really look at the book of Job, if you really study, and I hope you do, you're going to see that this is a lot bigger than just a book you turn to when trials are happening. You have to understand the core message of Job because this is about the meaning of life. Okay, this book is about the whole reason why you exist. And if you miss it, if you miss that core truth, you're going to be so confused in your life. You won't understand why certain things happen. That, at the core, is what the book of Job is about. Now, chapter 1 is huge, okay? Because it's this narrative, it's this story that a lot of people skim through because it's so strange. It's so different from normal everyday life that people don't know what to do with it. And honestly, it's a little bit offensive where you go, wait, can God actually do that? Okay, the first few verses are about Job in chapter 1, you know, 1-5. It just kind of explains the character of this man. And it's important to understand because, like, in verse 5, it would talk about his regular practice. He says Job would send and consecrate his children and would rise early in the morning and offer burnt sacrifices according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my children have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus Job did continually. Like, Job was a man who's not only looking at his own sin, but he's looking at the sins, the possible sins of his kids, and going, man, I better offer sacrifices for them. You know, they might have cursed God accidentally. I just don't want to do anything wrong in the sight of God. And this is important because Job 1 answers the question, you know, when we're going through trials, I think a lot of us ask the question, is God punishing me right now? Is this punishment for something I did? Because we do read those stories in Scripture where God punishes someone while they're here on the earth. And so that's a real possibility. And I think that it's a good practice at any point in life to say, God, show me, is there something that's off in my life? Are you disciplining me right now? Is there something, you know, that this is tied to? But what the book of Job answers to that question, am I being punished? Not necessarily. This may have nothing to do with your actions. Because in verses 6 through 12, it gets strange where God is having a conversation with Satan. And in verse 7, it says, "The Lord said to Satan, 'From where have you come?' And Satan answered the Lord and said, 'From going to and fro on the earth and from walking up and down it.' And the Lord said to Satan, 'Have you considered my servant Job? But there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man who fears God and turns away from evil.'" Dang, that is such an awesome verse. Could you imagine if God and Satan in heaven are having this conversation, and Satan, "Well, I've been looking all on the earth. I don't see anyone that follows you." And God mentions your name and says, "Have you considered him? Have you considered her? Blameless, upright, fears me." That's powerful. So again, this is answering the question, because Job's about to go through some trials now. So you can't say, well, he's being punished for something. That's why we have to look at our lives and we go, okay, maybe this isn't about God punishing me. If I've confessed my sins and I'm trying to walk the way he wants me to, and I'm saying, "God, show me if there's something that's off," then we have to realize maybe this is a Job moment, where there is something going on that I don't understand. But where it gets offensive is, as you read on, you see the enemy says to God, "Well, does Job worship you for no reason? It's because you've made his life so perfect. You've got this hedge of protection around him. But you start taking those things away and he will curse you to your face." Now, this is very bothersome to us because we like to believe that this is all about us. And so if something's going wrong or something isn't pleasing to us, you go, "Man, something's off because I'm not happy." And meanwhile, the book of Job is showing, no, there's a bigger thing going on. And you've got God and Satan in this battle. And that is what this book talks about, how there's been this ongoing battle between God and the devil. And here, Satan is asking permission, "Can I strike Job with some trials?" And they're having this conversation. God's like, "Okay, go ahead, but don't touch him. Don't hurt him physically. But yeah, you can go take away everything he has." And then at the end of it, after everything goes on and you read all about everything being taken away, like I said, it's like our worst nightmare. Losing all of our possessions, losing our children. And after all of it, at the end of chapter 1, it says, "Job arose and tore his robe, shaved his head, fell on the ground and worshipped. And he said, 'Naked I came from my mother's womb. Naked shall I return. The Lord gave, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord.' And in this, Job did not sin or charge God with wrong." Wow. After all that happened, Job says, "I'm going to worship you." He is grieving, it's miserable, but he just falls down and said, "You know what? I came with nothing. I'm back to nothing, and I am going to worship God." And so in that battle, God is glorified. Never been in a situation where someone is watching you but you didn't know they were watching. You find out later, and you're like, you were watching me the whole time. And there's almost like an embarrassment, like, oh, I would have acted differently if I knew you were watching me. The book of Job is kind of like that. It's to teach us that we're not alone. Like right now, the Bible says there's this cloud of witnesses. The Bible is very clear that our wrestle is not against flesh and blood. It's not so much about why this person do this and why this person do that, but that there's something bigger going on. I mean, the book of Job teaches us to live life with the reality that we are being watched right now. Like right now, I believe God is looking at my heart. And am I saying something that just to please you, that will make you happy? Or am I saying what's in here? Because I'm saying, God, no, I'll say whatever is in this book because I'm here to please you and to bring glory to you. That there's this battle going on and I'm somehow a part of it. And that right now and through these weeks as we study this book, you're not studying it by yourself. There's something going on where God and Satan, and I don't get this all. The Bible just says it's real. That it's not about flesh and blood. It's not about circumstances. It's about how we respond to those circumstances and whether or not we are actually going to bring glory to Satan or to God Almighty. By the way that we respond, by the proof that's in our faith, in our actions. See, that's the way chapter 1 ends. Job doesn't sin. He goes, you know what? God has every right. I was born into this world with nothing. He has every right to take it all away, and I'm going to worship him. As you've been watched your entire life, have you realized that? And has that caused you to bring glory to God, knowing that you're a part of a battle that's been going on for ages?